Doug Christie. He's a 15-year NBA veteran. Jason Ross. He's not. It's Doug Christie and Jason Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
All right, here we go. Final half hour here of the show. We're leading you up till game night at the bottom of the hour. The High Flyer, Henry Turner. Scott Marsh, they will have that. Got the Kings warming up out here. We got some Wizards out there. There's Russell Westbrook. Looks like he's going to be ready to go.
Brody.
We do know that Rashawn Holmes doubtful for tonight. Buddy Hield, hopeful. We'll see. Questionable. We'll see if he gives it a go. It'll be Kings and Wizards again. Game night at the bottom of the hour. Grill, fire pit, outdoor heaters. Cinch is the 100% answer for your propane needs. Cinch.com.
This is it.
You ready for Five on It?
No. Come on, man. You know the deal.
Let's do it. It's time for Five on It.
Own it.
I got five on it. I got five. A look at the top five at five. A spin around the nation to hear five stories. Five people, five opinions. This is I Got Five on It.
All right, five topics for you today on Five on It. We will have, as promised, Chris's over-under for tonight's game. We're going to check in on the Cleveland Browns. We got to check in on tomorrow night's opponent, the Phoenix Suns. Also, what's going on in Denver with the Broncos. But let's start with the Oakland A's. Mm-hmm. And beat reporter for MLB.com is Martin Gallegos. He's back with us here on Five on It. Martin, a little over a week ago, it looked like the A's may never win. But now they've found their stride. What's the difference here in, you know, really since they went out on the road, they won two of three against the Astros and the last two against the Diamondbacks. What's going better right now for the A's?
Yeah, I think there's a couple factors there. I mean, obviously the schedule early on was pretty tough, facing the Astros and Dodgers exclusively for 10 games. Towards the end of the Astros stretch, they found their bullpen. It started to materialize like it did last year. They're getting good contributions all around, and the offense really started to heat up. Guys like Jed Lowry, Matt Chapman kind of starting to find his stroke. Ramon Laureano has been on a tear, and he's kind of the MVP of this team right now. So they're kind of just starting to look more like the 2020 A's right now.
Martin, Sean Manaea in the, I believe it was the last game versus the Astros, gives six innings. I believe that was the longest stretch by a starting pitcher. Then Jesus only goes 2 2/3. Just talk about the starting pitching so far.
Yeah, it's been kind of up and down. The outings by Sean Manaea and Frankie Montas recently were pretty promising for them. Chris Bassett, who was their opening day starter, has been so-so through three starts. But Luzardo's the guy who they really are kind of hoping he can emerge as an ace this year. And so far, you know, it's been kind of the same as his rookie season, where he has flashes of dominance and that electric arm shows, but really just hasn't really put it all together yet. And it's still early in the season. They still feel like he could become that guy this year. But they're definitely looking for more consistently out of the starting rotation overall, and they've kind of gotten that for the most part here in the last week, and that's led to this nice stretch that they're on right now.
Martin, how do you explain Jed Lowry? I mean, it's third time here with the A's. His best years are every time he's with Oakland. It seems like when he leaves, he's not the same. But as soon as he puts on that A's uniform, he's put in the third spot. He's raking again. How do you explain him?
Yeah, I mean, we asked Bob Melvin about it the other day, and he couldn't even explain it. I mean, it's like he stepped into a time machine and just went back to 2018. You know, with the Mets the last 2 years, he had a knee thing that kind of was bothering him, and he wanted surgery, but the Mets were kind of advising him against doing that. He got the surgery this offseason, and he's looking like he's a completely healthy guy, and he's looking not just at the plate, but also on defense. He's making all the plays at second base. I think that he's even surprised himself at times with how good he's looking mobility-wise out there. So, I mean, he's looking like the Jed Lowry that the A's saw in 2018. Nothing's really changed from there. He went to New York for 2 years and kind of had a long period of inactivity, but he's shaken off the rush pretty quick. He did it pretty quickly in spring training. He's come out the gates here pretty strong.
Martin, Bob Melvin, I know this is more of a marathon. You start off really slow. Was there any change from spring training as far as the message that was going out to the players?
I think they all kind of were, you know, excited to get back to more of a full season and kind of show that, you know, last year wasn't a fluke. I think a lot of people saw them win the AL West last year and think, well, it was 60 games and, you know, let's see how they can do over a full season. So kind of just, you know, as far as the message, just taking things a little bit more slowly. Obviously with the pitching, that's where you really have to practice caution, because the guys didn't throw a lot of innings last year and they have some young arms in there who aren't used to going, you know, for workload. So I think the pitching is the one thing that they kind of focused on, just trying to ease them back in, not expect them to throw 100 pitches out the gate. And I think they've done a pretty good job of that. They'll kind of build them up as the season goes along and keep an eye on that.
Mm-hmm.
One last thing for you, Martin. We when we get players on or coaches in different leagues, they talk about having fans back. It's different for them. For you professionally, is it still Zoom and coverage, or are you allowed to get into – like, how's that going for you as a reporter?
Yeah, it's still, we're still doing most things on Zoom. We're able to go to the ballpark, but we're actually able to get back into the press box. Last year, they kind of had us set up because there was no fans. They had us kind of down the lower level, and we had a pretty good view down there, but it's kind of nice to be back in a press box. You know, it's kind of more natural for us, and seeing the fans there is definitely a big improvement, because it was weird last year with the fake crowd noise in there. Now to hear, you know, the atmosphere and the A's fans, you know, the crazy A's fans out there in the outfield, it's been cool to just kind of see things slowly starting to come back to normal. Hopefully soon we'll get to go into clubhouses and stuff, and things will be even more back to normal.
All right. Thank you, Martin. That's Martin Gallegos joining us. Talk a little bit about the A's. Topic two here on Five on It as we continue. Let's check in what's going on with Denver. Andrew Mason, Denver sports reporter at Mile High Sports. Denver, one of the teams, the Broncos, decided to opt out of voluntary workouts. What's the latest from there and kind of the reasoning from Denver on that?
Well, the players expressed some concern about the protocols and all that were in place, or relative lack of protocols heading into off-season work for NFL teams. But the Broncos' response in the last 12 hours or so has been to announce that, A, they're going to be doing COVID-19 vaccinations for all staff, players, spouses and significant others of staff. If they want it, they'll be doing that next week. And to kind of remind players that, hey, we're going to be having some pretty tight protocols there. So I think they're trying to kind of rebuild things with the players. But certainly the fact that they want to get everybody vaccinated, it's the Pfizer vaccine, so it's one, and then you have the next shot in 3 weeks. It may not be enough to get a lot of guys there for the individual sessions of OTAs, but it might be enough to get the team back together for the team sessions of OTAs, basically what resembles normal football practices, which would begin on the 24th of May.
Andrew, interestingly enough, I was asking Jason earlier what the percentage he thinks of a league is of people who don't want to get vaccinated or who are unwilling. Is there that in the Broncos, whether it be players, staff? Do you get that kind of vibe or feeling?
I don't get the vibe from the staff. Now, there's one player in particular, one of their linebackers, Alexander Johnson, when he tweeted about it yesterday, referred to a, quote, planned pandemic, unquote, and on his Instagram has expressed reluctance about getting the vaccine. So there are going to be some players. I mean, look, when you've got a 90-man roster, if you take a cross – like any cross-section of this country right now, you get 90 people, and you're probably going to have some that say, no, I'm going to take the vaccine. But by and large, what I've gathered is that most of the locker room is on board with getting that vaccine, even though you may have some guys that say no.
So even, Andrew, with that linebacker, do you think there's going to be a point in the season where, or however you look at it, that says, listen, you get the vaccine or you don't want your job?
Now that would probably have to. The thing is, though, you'd be talking about the NFL Players Association involved with that, and the PA may not look favorably on that, even though, you know, legal people may say, well, it might be perfectly within the NFL rights and the team rights of the private organization to say, go ahead and get your vaccine. But since you have the collective bargaining part of it, I imagine there'd be some pushback if a team wanted to say, hey, we don't want you because you're not getting that vaccine.
Andrew, quick thought on the draft. Denver's picking, what, ninth? What's the – or sixth? Are they sixth or ninth? Ninth?
They're picking ninth.
Ninth, yeah. Now, what's the thought process there?
Well, right now, kind of the focus appears to be on the quarterback position. Justin Fields' pro day, his second pro day, the Broncos sent their director of pro personnel, A.J. Durso, but most significantly sent – Pat Shurmur, their offensive coordinator, who actually has a connection with Ryan Day. The two of them worked together on Chip Kelly's staff in Philadelphia several years ago when Ohio State put out a picture of Pat Shurmur and Ryan Day sharing a laugh, talking, watching Justin Fields work out. So the indications I've gotten, guys, that the Broncos really do like Justin Fields and Trey Lance. The question is, are they going to just, do they like either of them enough to potentially move up? Because sitting there at nine, they may not be in position to get either of them. They might need to get to four or perhaps the fifth pick with Cincinnati. That might be the one to watch if the Broncos do look to trade up. They would be interested in moving up. They don't particularly want to give up a first-round pick in 2022 as part of a deal to move up. And so it may become a question of, okay, how much do they like him, and do they love one of them? If they love one of them, I think they'll do what it takes to move up. If they just like Justin Fields and Trey Lance, they may wait, sit back at nine. Maybe they move up to seven with Detroit to get one of those quarterbacks, but they don't make a big, audacious deal like the 49ers did.
Jason, so it's not a lock.
Oh, I see what,
I did there.
Thank you, Andrew. Take that one with you, Andrew.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Andrew.
That's Andrew Mason there. Oh, boy. You're going to have one for Gerald Bourget here as we talk to NBA editor and lead Suns writer for FanSided. What a season it's been, Gerald, for Phoenix. Doug and I were just talking about them at the start of our show. We Kings and Suns play tomorrow. Saw the Suns game two and game three. It's been forever ago. We thought they might be good. I didn't see number two seed good. Did you see them being this good?
No, I don't think anyone in the Phoenix area even saw them being this good. But it's just been an incredible season for them so far. They've been a borderline elite team on both ends of the floor. Chris Paul still doing his thing in, you know, what is it, year 15, 16 of his career now. And the Suns' youngsters have all pretty much made a leap across the board. So it's been a lot of fun to watch this team.
I'm going to say, Gerald, that the Monty Williams focus on the defense and the value of defense, Mikal Bridges, Jay Crowder, even Ayton in the lane. You look at Torrey Craig as a pickup. How much of that is the focus of what we're witnessing from Phoenix?
Yeah, I mean, I think the defensive end has been a huge focus, and it helps that they've actually had the same offensive system intact from last year so that they don't have to focus as much on that side of the ball and can kind of focus on improving their defense. And they've got a lot of, you know, versatile wing defenders that can switch positions, which really helps. You know, you look at Mikal Bridges, Jay Crowder, Cam Johnson, Torrey Craig, all of these guys that can switch multiple positions. And DeAndre Ayton's progress down low has been really good to see. He's doing a lot of the little things that you know, heading into the draft, he wasn't really known for on that side of the ball. So the Suns' progress on that end of the floor has been the reason that they look like contenders right now.
And that's interesting, Gerald, because, you know, generally you miss the playoffs for 10 years. That first breakthrough is maybe an 8 seed, a 7 seed, and, hey, we're happy to be here. But with a 2 seed, does this now come with expectations when they're in the playoffs?
I think so. I mean, I think they've got – they've got, like, title expectations this year.
Wow.
They didn't really do anything at the trade deadline to make kind of a big move, but they are relying on their depth and just kind of the team chemistry and camaraderie that we've seen take shape already. So there are big expectations in Phoenix, and they've been saying this from the start as far as, you know, at the beginning of the season. They were saying this team could be as good as it wants to be, and, you know, a lot of teams say that at the beginning of the season, but to see them actually backing it up and looking like a potential title contender has been really fascinating to watch unfold like this.
Gerald, who has surprised you the most? Because you got a litany of players from Cameron Payne, Cameron Johnson, Mikal Bridges' improvement, Chris Paul at year 15. Who, for you, as you watched him, who surprised you the most this year?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. And I honestly would probably have to go with Mikal Bridges. He doesn't put up big numbers in any category, but just what he's able to do on the defensive side of the ball and then the leap that he's taken this year as both a three-point shooter and a guy that can attack off the dribble and kind of pull up and get his own mid-range shot. You know, he said he's been watching film of guys like Kevin Durant and Brandon Roy, these guys that are really good at, you know, getting to their spots off the dribble and pulling up for these mid-range jumpers before the defense kind of collapses in around them. So that's been a focus for him, and he's evolving as a passer as well. So I think in another year he's going to put it together and be one of the best two-way players in the NBA. But just the leap he's taken this year from last year has been really impressive and a big part of the Suns' success so far.
All right, Gerald, thank you for giving us some insight on the Phoenix Suns. Remember, that's the Kings' opponent tomorrow night. Let's jump back into the NFL. Let's check out what's going on with the Cleveland Browns. Scott Petrak, Cleveland Browns reporter for the Chronicle Telegram, joining us. Scott, if we start with today's news, the Browns signing Jadeveon Clowney, one-year deal. Defense was already pretty good, certainly on the edge there. What does this do to help that defense?
I think it definitely bolsters it. You know, they lost Olivier Vernon. He ruptured his Achilles in the last game, and then he's a free agent. They cut Adrian Claiborne. So they needed to find people opposite Myles Garrett, and they signed Tack McKinley earlier, then Jadeveon Clowney, and I think that gives them a nice 1-2 punch opposite Miles.
What are the expectations this year, Scott, or will he even be there in Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yeah, I expect him to be there. You know, he's under contract. It's guaranteed. It's close to $15 million, so they're not going to cut him. If some team made him a great trade offer, they might listen to it, but I don't expect that to happen. So I expect Odell to be here, and then, you know, if he's healthy, which is an if because, you know, he hasn't been really healthy in the 2 years he's been in Cleveland, I think he could have a huge season. You know, he'll have more time with Baker Mayfield, a second season in Kevin Stefanski's system. I think Coach Kevin Stefanski will know how to use Odell better. And we saw, you know, glimpses of how great he could be that Dallas game last year. He had three touchdowns. He had the game winner on an end around. So, you know, I would keep my expectations high for Odell, even though he hasn't been great the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. How about team expectations? 2 years ago, you know, people, could this team win the Super Bowl? And obviously it was they fizzled out. Then last year, they really did have a good season. What are the Cleveland Browns' expectations this season?
Yeah, I think they keep getting higher and higher every player they sign. You know, they've had a productive free agency with safety John Johnson III and nickelback Troy Hill, and then Jadeveon Clowney today, and Tack McKinley and Malik Jackson. So the expectation is they're going to be a contender for the Super Bowl. You know, they went to the second round of the playoffs a year ago. They really haven't lost any big pieces without replacing them. You expect Baker Mayfield to be better. You like the coaching staff in place. You know, Stefanski was coach of the year in his first season. So, you know, I expect them to be in the mix all season long.
If that is the expectation, why not sign Baker to the extension? Is it just want to prove it, want to see it?
I think there's still time to do that. You know, a lot of times you see those extensions get done in July and August, you know, kind of around training camp. They might wait until after the fourth season. I'm sure they'll pick up the fifth-year rookie option, you know, to keep him here for 2022. But I would not be surprised if they got an extension done before the season.
What is, in your opinion, what is the area that would make Baker take that elite status jump?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, he played at a really high level over the second half of last season, and I think a lot of that was gaining comfort in Stefanski's system and Stefanski tailoring things to what Baker does best. I think you just need to see more games where he takes over. And that's not all his fault. I mean, they run the ball a bunch. They got Nick Chubb. They got Kareem Hunt. They got a big-time offensive line. But I think when the game calls for it, then Baker Mayfield needs to string completion together. And we did see that at times last year. The Cincinnati game, he played well in the playoffs against Pittsburgh. The Tennessee game, the Monday night game against the Ravens that they lost, he played really well in the second half. So I think it's keep eliminating the interceptions, which he did a good job in the second half of last season, and then just consistency, doing it week in and week out and year out like the great ones do.
Yeah. All right, Scott, thank you. We appreciate that insight on what's going on with the Cleveland Browns. That's four parts of our Five on It. We close out Five on It back at our studios.
Easy, easy.
With Chris Furlaud, who gives us tonight's over-under with the Sacramento Kings and the Washington Wizards. What are we looking at tonight, Chris?
So I teased it the other day by saying that we're probably going to go with Russell Westbrook, which we are.
Okay.
So today's over-under is 52.5 points, rebounds, assists for Russell Westbrook.
Dang, you know what I did ahead of time here, Doug, is I wrote a number on the side. I said, if Chris says this number, I'm going under. Well, his number was under my number, so I don't know. He threw me off. I thought he was going a little higher.
52.
It's climbing.
I threw Jason off because I said I was going to go with 78 earlier.
Yeah. Which, if we remember the last time they played, he did go under the number. I can't remember the number Chris gave us, but then the 50. Very next, was it 50?
Mm-hmm. Well, he had 50 game, the last time. I want to say it was like 55.
I think it was 55. In the very next game, though, he had like 80. It was something crazy, but also in that same Kings game is the game he missed two free throws late. He missed two dunks. He really could have gotten the over. 52.5. Jay, you want to go first on this one?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go under. I think he's going to have about 25, 12, and 9.
Minus
no triple-double for Westbrook.
Yeah, I think he's a little short of
Oh,
of
if he's at 9,
double.
He's thirsty. He's going to get that 10th, whatever
that
it
would
is
still be assist. Under 52, thank you.
Yeah.
He might get that 10th rebound well. On the bench.
My initial lean was under. I'm going to stick with under, 52.5. DC, it's on you. Clean sweep, or are you by yourself?
So the other night, yeah, 25, 14, 14. What is that? Sheesh. 8.
That's 53. Right? Did I add that up right? Yeah.
That's ridiculous, 48. By the way.
53. Okay.
And that's a really big triple-double.
That is, there. And he said in a half.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to go under, too.
Oh, I think clean it's sweep be, on the under.
But I think he gets a
well, he's going to be right there.
He gets a triple-double. He's going to okay. be there. It's going to be – but it's not going to be that.
Remember the last time you guys all –
Yeah, I do.
Together.
I also remember the Titans because they're gods.
Yes.
And that would be
– Oh, you ain't know?
Well, we know now.
That's right. Was it 5,300?
35.
Okay. 3,500.
All right.
On rope.
Floor and rope.
Don't forget about 1826 St. Mark's Way.
The fact that you looked up the address so you could comment is
no, I
spectacular.
No, that's my high school. My former high school's
exactly.
address.
Exactly.
No, you know, it's the same thing. It's very iconic, just like 3,500 Florin Road.
I'm not behind...
What was that stupid mall?
Country Club.
Country Club Plaza. Right behind it.
In fact, you didn't know the mall was right there.
Hey, not to be confused with 2 Meadowbrook.
Okay. Meadowbrook?
Yeah, that doesn't okay. sound great.
2 or, Meadowbrook what? Wayne Lane?
8815 Seward Park Avenue South. That's right. Put some respect on it. No doubt.
Yeah, that's Jay was asking what I think it's just 2 Meadowbrook. I don't think it's a street, a lane, a boulevard.
Oh, no, we got to look it up now.
We're confused.
No,
yeah, we're looking up.
2 Meadowbrook.
2 Meadowbrook, just nothing.
Lane. Meadowbrook. That has to be a
it
lane.
It has to be, yeah. Place.
There needs to be something
lane,
else.
No, road. That
Meadowbrook can't be a street. Meadowbrook is a lane, bro. Okay?
Okay.
No, it's probably a vista. That's 2 Meadowbrook. I think that's all it is.
I'm gonna say over, I'm gonna say over. It's something else.
I've got it right here.
What is it?
It is 2 Meadowbrook.
Come on, come on, come on.
Irvine, California, 92604.
Yep. That's it.
Really?
No street, no lane.
Yeah. What's wrong with them people in Orange County?
Trash.
That's hey.
Oh my bad. My bad. Somebody messed up there with the address there, buddy.
Yeah.
That didn't work for me.
It used to be a place. I took it with me.
All right, that's the end
that
of the show.
Quality. That was
Wait,
quality.
Did I not get that message?
Hold on.
Oh,
I don't think I did. Anyway.
Well, what you got for Rashawn Holmes tonight? What's the status?
Yeah, I don't think it's looking good. Looks like he is out for tonight, doubtful for tonight's game. So that is certainly unfortunate.
I know there's somebody who's not.
Who's that?
Coco! The Black Falcon.
Yeah?
He's out shooting right now. Well, the reason I say that is because he kind of tweaked his ankle.
If you guys didn't know that earlier, does that change your over-under for tonight?
No.
No.
And I think Buddy will play tonight. One other note, too. I guess Luke Walton's just having his presser right now. Mentions that Marvin Bagley will join the Kings tomorrow in Phoenix.
Oh, were?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what that means. If that just means – because we haven't seen Marvin. I don't know if that just means he'll be there at the game and he's been rehabbing there or – I don't know, but that's what Luke had said.
Okay.
So we'll have more on that tomorrow. Any other keys for tonight, Doug, that you're going to be watching?
Get a win.
Oh, yeah, any way possible, right?
I think I gave them to you pretty much already. Let me look here. Out of the paint, this is a team that will dominate you in the paint.
Yeah.
Meaning not like
– But not with those players.
I mean like Russell.
Will, yes.
Okay.
Attacking the rim.
The 74 points in the paint last game was huge. And then three supreme. The Kings, 15-plus, make a shot.
Yeah, and Buddy's back. That's, I mean, I know they were 0 for, what, 10 last game and then 5
No, they were 11. They were 0 for 14.
Is that what it was? And then
before De'Aaron won for 15 at the half. Step back.
Which I thought was their worst shot of the half almost. I mean, he made it. But
those
man.
Are good shots now.
When they go in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When they go in. No, no, no. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Good shot.
Exactly. All right, DC, we'll have a good call. We will see you back in the studio. No, we'll be back here tomorrow.
Yeah.
Back to back.
I was just about to say, you're not coming through?
Oh, I'm here.
Me
yeah,
too.
I'm here. Uh-uh. Right behind this plexiglass.
You guys going to spend the night there?
I might.
No, that's kind of not a thing.
We got cutouts here.
Yeah.
They spread us out. We're socially distanced now down there, Doug, you and me.
That would be.
In our row.
I would be okay with that. Just give me a ball and let me just go shoot as long as I want.
Shoot the lights out.
Look at you.
We'll leave the light on for you.
he is ended with a bang.
That's it for us. Game night is next.
For him, it's a cinch.
Scott Marsh and the High Flyer. They're coming your way next right here on Cage to Cage.